Father, thank you for the privilege to study your word. Help us to do so in spirit and in truth, so we might know the Lord Jesus and be able to follow him with all of our heart, soul, and might. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, the front is pretty much review. I do want to read a little bit about the observations in the middle of the first page. We haven't read these in a while. But we're looking at five Greek words primarily. That's kind of the foundation. So we're not studying everything there is to study about submission, but there's a whole bunch of it here. But let me read these. Each of these Greek words involves under. It's the hupo. To yield or submit is being under others. That's just part of what it means. This is God's idea and requirement. Each word is something the follower does. The commands are given to the follower, not the leader. The leader doesn't make people follow. The followers are commanded to follow. Does that make sense? It's all of these, we'll see this even today, we're to submit ourselves. It's an attitude and action on our part toward those that we're under, that God places us under. Each word requires us to willingly yield and follow another. It's a willful choice. Each word assumes disagreement of decision or direction. There's some kind of disagreement. You would do it differently if you were in charge. It assumes that we would do something else if we were in charge. At a minimum, submission assumes disagreement by virtue of differences of opinions as to what is best, the best decision, or the best direction. It can also involve choosing righteousness over sin. Each word is present as a command. Submission itself is righteousness. Not yielding is sin, even if the circumstance or choice does not involve a sinful choice or direction. In other words, submitting, not submitting becomes sinful because God has commanded it, even if there's no sin involved in the actual what we've been told to do, make your bed or not make your bed. God didn't command us to make our bed. In and of itself, that's not an issue. The fact is, if mom or dad says to make our bed and we don't, then it becomes sin because we're defying, not doing what God wants in that way. And again, we've talked about we follow authority, and we never are allowed to not be under that authority, even when we disobey. Who did we talk about last week as examples of people that disobeyed yet remained under that authority? Daniel, right? What, the food and also praying. He didn't run away. He didn't start a force against the king when the prayer was outlawed for 30 days. He did what was right before God and let the chips fall where they may under that same authority. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did not run away from Nebuchadnezzar. They did not go on sick call, so to speak. Sorry, can't be here. We have tummy aches or something. They didn't even pretend to bow down by tying their shoes or whatever the case might be. They willfully stood and then submitted to the consequences. The apostles did the same thing. You know, first they said, you tell us, is it right to serve God or man? And then the second time they were brought before the Sanhedrin and said, we will serve God and not man. Okay, but then they were beaten for that. Okay, the fact that they went ahead and did what God wanted did not release them from yielding to authority. Jesus yielded to Pilate in unfair, ungodly choices of Pilate, and he said, you would not be here if God had not empowered you to be here. And so Jesus saw, as the others did, that God is ultimately responsible for those over you, and therefore you submit anyway, unless you cannot, and then you handle the consequences of that. I know it's completely different than the way we do, because we always fight for our rights rather than our responsibility before the Lord. And I believe yielding to authority it reflects greatly your and my understanding of God. Does that make sense? Is God big enough to be responsible for those he's placed over us? Is he really in charge? It questions his omnipotence, his power. It questions his omniscience, his wisdom and knowledge, and rebelling against it. What he has clearly said, there's no authority except from God. The authorities that exist are appointed by God to rebel against the authorities, to rebel against the statutes of the Lord. Okay. All right, we talked about submitting to God and his truth, family submission relationships. We're actually going to see something about that next week as it relates to the church. We're going to spend the whole lesson on that. Flip the page over, because I have some of the same stuff here. But believers are to submit to others in the church in addition to spiritual leaders. Now, last week I summarized that in point number one here. Believers are to submit to spiritual leaders. We're supposed to follow God's leaders. And the key verse for that, and it's probably the key verse for this whole section of submitting in the church, but ultimately it's Hebrews 13:17. Obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch for your souls as those who must give account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you. Appointment of leadership comes from God, and rebelling does not eliminate the responsibility of leaders to lead anyway. It just makes it hard when people rebel. Does that make sense? You don't cease being a parent because your child rebels. It just makes the parenting harder, and it also makes it unprofitable for the child. Okay, we looked at 3 points and then an illustration. Let's see, the appointment. God has appointed over us within the church spiritual leaders. He says it's his flock, but he appoints the leaders. And we have to take that as from the Lord again. The requirement, God commands us to give way and submit to these leaders. We're supposed to be persuaded by them or have confidence or trust them because God has given them expertise, even probably spiritual gifts with regard to that, probably experience. All of those come together in that way. We mentioned lawyers or doctors. We used those as illustrations last week. You know, we have to trust their expertise to some degree. Acknowledgement. God expects us to honor and protect these leaders. We're supposed to guard their reputation. And also, when they sin, we're supposed to publicly rebuke them. Okay, because leadership's a big thing. God did that even with Moses. Remember, he couldn't go into Israel. What did he do? Moses struck the rock. I mean, 40 years leading these people, and he loses his privilege to enter the promised land because God says, I don't remember the exact words, but you did not hallow my name in front of all these people. How long do we have to mess with you, you people of Israel? And it's like, as they used to say in the army, do you have a mouse in your pocket? You know, it's like, I'm sorry, you're my representative. It's not me and you together. Okay, I'm God, you're my servant. I think that's kind of the way it comes across. Moses, he was the most meek and humble man, okay, according to the Bible, and yet that was a time when that didn't work. Okay, his pride and anger overtook him. The illustration, a key action of leaders is to shepherd God's flock. And the picture there again, that's a biblical word, is the idea is to shepherd the flock. What does a shepherd do? He has to do things that the sheep must trust. Okay, it's not a vote of the flock, so to speak. You know, how many want to go to the fold so you're protected from the wolf? You know, all in favor say bah, all opposed same sign. I guess we're outside the fold tonight, you know, because it's restrictive and we don't have our freedom or whatever the case may be. So believers are to submit to spiritual leaders. Number two now, so we're going to look at 2, 3, and 4. And then next week, I've reordered them a little bit. So number 5 we're going to look at are women are to learn in silence with all submission. And I pull that up because of the word. And it has to, I've divided these are relationships within the congregation, within the assembly that this deals with. So these are kind of, and others. You know, they're not miscellaneous to me, but they're other relationships beside leadership relationships within the church that we are commanded to submit or in some way told to submit to, okay? So look at the first one here. Number two, younger and possibly leaders, we're going to talk about that in a little bit, are to submit to the elder. And I'm going to talk about those blanks in a little bit because I want you to maybe kind of determine what those are, okay, to think it through before I just give you the answer.
Yeah, can I just ask a question here?
Yeah. I know what you're saying. I'm not necessarily saying it's an attitude issue, but I do believe if you and the person you're following are in agreement, there's no submission required. Submission involves me going a different way than I want. Does that make sense? If you and I are going the same direction, then there's no choice to be made with regard to submission. But if you want to go that way and I want to go that way, there's a choice to be made.
So submission isn't really a good word if we're both going the same direction.
Yeah, it's not really submission then. It's potential submission. Like we're going the same way does not generate a reason to submit. It's when you want to go a different way than someone else. That's an issue. Now, there might be discussion and we decide, hey, yeah, let's keep going the same way because now we both agree again. Then you don't have submission. But it's like, if I still think I'm right and you think you're right, then there's a choice to be made. And at least in a biblical scenario where there's an authority and not an authority, then it requires me choosing to follow them even though I would do this if I was in charge or whatever. I think it's a better direction, you know, more logical, it makes more sense or whatever the case might be. Right. I just think the nature, what we're talking about submission is, whether someone should lead or not, to me, is a different discussion than submission. But if someone is in the position of leadership, and you need to understand this even in the military, there might be a lieutenant over you or whatever that really shouldn't be leading, but you still have to follow him because he's appointed as a leader over you. So that's really a different discussion, and you really don't have any say over that person in the military anyway. Or your parents or what, kind of thing. So then it ultimately is you might be going in the same direction by and large, but if the submission comes into play when you think something differently than the one you're following, that's the way I understand it. You know, submitting yourselves is even yielding, and that's the word in the Hebrews 13:17, be submissive. It's give way to. Give way under. So you're moving out of the way to allow leadership to take place. And it takes that, right? You can lead, but if someone's not following, which is the act of submission, then you can't lead, even though you might be a qualified leader or an appointed leader, which I'm not so sure there's a great amount of difference there in God's standpoint. Jesus yielded to Pilate. And he was qualified in the sense that God appointed him, and so Jesus yielded to him, even though Pilate did a lot of goofy stuff. So ultimately, Jesus acknowledged that Pilate was there because of God. You know, and Pilate, historically even, he wasn't one that had won friends or influenced people in a good way. He was always at odds with the Jews and at least Rome to some degree. But so he was trying to please both, and he ended up pleasing neither. So So, but it's a good question. You know, it's, but I would see it as, I mean, think of it in football terms. You know, if you're for the Hawkeyes and someone else is for the Cyclones, that's when there's an issue. And I don't watch football pretty much ever, but it's like, okay, which game are we going to watch? You know, it's like I'm for this and you for that. And now that's a very simplistic illustration, but it's that idea. We have one television, two teams playing different teams. Who are we going to watch? So, all right. So then the submission comes into play. Number two now here, younger leaders to submit to the elder, and I would even put it in the plural, elders. But read with me here. It says, 1 Peter 5:5-7, likewise, you younger people, and if you would, put bracket marks around the people like this, okay, because that's actually supplied. And it'll maybe make sense in a little bit. But the word people is supplied. It's not wrong to put it there, but it's an implied people, not a word. There's no word for people there. The word for people is not there. It's you younger ones, maybe, okay? And it's masculine, so it could even be younger men, though it could also mean younger people, like they say. It could be the masculine form can be used for both genders together. You younger people, submit yourselves. Again, notice submission is the responsibility of whom? Yes, the follower. Okay? You never see leaders dominate those that are under you. Okay? In fact, they're commanded not to lord over people. Submit yourselves to, and the word your is supplied, to elders. Okay? Yes, all of you be submissive one to one another and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. That's a quote from elsewhere. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Now, the ESV is a newer literal translation. I like it in many ways. Here is what they have. Notice they don't have younger people or younger ones. You who are younger, be subject to the elders. Clothe yourself, all of you, with humility toward one another, for God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. And then that phrase occurs in James 4:6 as well. And that has to do with the relationship to God directly as opposed to authorities that are over you, okay? Now, the questioner is what is this passage talking about here? If you open your Bibles, if you would, to 1 Peter 5, because there's a context here, and the question is, does it relate to the previous context? There's even a verse in here that we get quoted oftentimes, and it's not wrong. It's just that there's a context to every verse. I'm in 1 John, so this is not making sense at all. Okay. It says in verse 5, likewise. Okay? Likewise. Likewise in what way? It says you younger, and it, again, the New King James says people, but it's just you younger ones. Submit yourself to elder ones. Literally, the younger submitting to older. So at the very least, this is younger are to be submitting to elder, okay? Okay, and these are both plural and both masculine, all right? Now, the question is, how does it relate to us? Is this a general statement, or does the likewise as it seems to appear, somehow tie it into at least the previous few verses, or does it even go back farther? But who is Peter talking to here in chapter 5, verse 1? Yeah, and is this just older ones? Who are the elders? Yeah, in fact, it uses the phrase, it says, the elders who are among you, I exhort. He says, I am a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed. And notice here, verse 2, what's the word? First word? Shepherd. Elders are told to shepherd, which is, that's a command, which is the verb form for pastor. So elders, these are specific elders that are to pastor. So it seems to be positional, not just the fact, it's not just age, it's position here, okay? Shepherd the flock of God, which is among you. So they have a responsibility. They're to shepherd the flock of God, okay? Shepherd, to lead, to be responsible for, which is among you, serving as overseers. There's the other word. So you have elders who shepherd, and they oversee. And the old word for that in the King James is, the noun form would be bishop. If a man desires the office of a bishop. So elders, shepherd, and oops. Thanks for your graciousness for not saying anything, okay? They oversee, serving as overseers. So elders, shepherd, and oversee. Okay? This is the word, since we're getting off on a tangent anyway. Elders is the word presbyteros, and it's plural. This is singular here, but this is plural. So it's the presbytery, the presbytery. And pastor, poimaino, and then oversee is episkopos. We get Episcopalian from that, Presbyterian from that, okay? But these are just the three Greek words. These happen to be verbs. This is a noun. But they use interchangeably. That's why we say elders or pastors are overseers. Okay, they're the same thing. There's not elders that are not in a church that are not pastoring or not overseeing, okay? So it seems to be talking about pastors or overseers, not just elder people in general, okay? Let me start in verse 2 again. Shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion but willingly, not for dishonest gain but eagerly, nor as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. Now, verse 5. Likewise, you younger. Now, it could be younger people, younger possibly leaders, or just younger men that are not yet elders, not yet leaders, but will be. The biblical pattern seems to be that pastors grow up from within the congregation as a general pattern, okay? That doesn't mean you can't get a pastor from someplace else, but the normal growing church should have be bringing up leaders from within their congregation. But notice what they're told to do. Likewise, you younger, submit yourselves to elders. Now, the only other place in 1 Peter that talks about that is right here, and the likewise seems to tie it into that. So it's like whether it's younger people in general, and the elders seem to give the idea that pastors are to be older too, not younger, for lots of reasons, okay, because it takes time to learn, it takes time to grow and change and all of that. So there is a younger part too, but also the idea of sooner or later you'll be an elder yourself. That is possibly the case if it's talking about younger men as opposed to just younger people. Now, in general, I believe the Bible teaches that younger people are supposed to honor and submit to older people in a general sense of the word, just because the age should have honor with it. Okay? But specifically here, because of the likewise, it seems like it's maybe addressing younger men who will eventually be, maybe they're part of the eldership, but they're younger leaders opposed to older leaders, so they should follow the older leaders rather than resist them, okay? Or maybe potentially people that will eventually be leaders in the church. That's what it looks like here, because it's tying it in with the elders, okay? So in your notes there, what seems to be the issue then? Notice there's more there. It says, yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. Isn't that what submission is about? Submission involves humility as opposed to pressing pride and for rights, okay? For God resists the what? Proud, but gives grace to the humble. So humility goes with submission. Pride goes with rebellion, okay? Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. Now, doesn't that reflect what Jesus did even before Pilate? Humble yourself before God, because that's what you're doing. How do you humble yourself before God? By following your leaders. But notice here, it seems to indicate future leaders or younger leaders, because what does it say next? It says that he may exalt you in due time. That seems, at least to me, it could possibly be understood to say, you will get there eventually. You follow and you learn to follow your leaders. Eventually, you will be a leader. God will exalt you when it is your time. If you yield, if you humble yourselves before God, He will put you in place when it's your time. He will exalt you in due time. And again, there's the concept of time and the appropriate time. Okay? So in other words, one of the statements, and I believe this is true. It's not a biblical statement, but I think it's a biblical inference, even in a passage like this. But you cannot be a good leader if you don't know how to be a good follower, because you misunderstand what leadership's about if you don't get the whole following part. Okay? And that's what God seems to be saying to these young future leaders or younger men that are already in leadership, is follow the elders. Okay? Follow the pastors. In due time, God will exalt you. And notice what he says here. This is the context of this verse. Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Have you ever wanted to go a different direction than your leaders have wanted you to go? What is God's response? Jesus committed himself to him who judges righteously. Right? That's what this seems to indicate to. Casting all your worries on him, for he cares for you. He knows and he cares. God knows the circumstances you're in. He cares about you in your circumstances. He knows he'll deal with it in his time. What usually is our problem? We want it in our time, our way, our circumstances. We want to be dictating the terms, right? What seems to be what God reserves for himself. So we say, no, God, you're fired. I'm hiring myself as the God of my universe. Okay, that's rebellion ultimately. I'm making my own choices, doing my own things the way I want them to happen. All right? But God says, no, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Literally, you are of concern to him. Literally, that's what the Greek says. Okay? Questions on that? How would we summarize that? I would probably put younger leaders. I put a question mark. But it seems to indicate that Peter is talking to leaders or future leaders, probably more directly young men. But the principle applies. Again, when you're following, you follow God's leaders, even though they're imperfect, faulty, God will lift you up in due time, and he cares for you. You cast your cares upon him about those that you're following even. Okay? It doesn't say rebel. It doesn't say run. It doesn't say react. It says yield and follow, placing your cares on God. That should be our response, whether we're a wife to a husband, children to parents, people to pastor, citizens to presidents, any of those employees to employers. You do what you can with the freedom you have as far as to appeal to leaders, but the rest is up to God, okay? But it seems to be directly related to leaders here by the context. Questions? How would you summarize that? Okay, follow your elders, and it's telling us to do that, but what's the bigger picture here? We're supposed to submit to our elders. Humility. That's true, and you have to exercise humility to ultimately submit, right? Because your way is better anyway. Otherwise, you wouldn't still be convinced that you should still go that way, right? You're unconvinced that that's the best direction. I summarize it this way, and it leaves a lot out, but wait your turn. Wait your turn. It's following your leaders until God exalts you, puts you there. Whether it's wait your turn to become a parent, and you're a child to you're a parent kind of idea, as I kind of understand it. Not that you aren't a child even then, but the idea until you have your own responsibility there, until you're married, wait your turn. Until you're a pastor, wait your turn. Follow your leaders. Don't resist or rebel against your leaders. Okay? In a wife-husband relationship, I would say that it's a little bit different because the wife won't become the husband. But the idea is, God will work through you by, the Bible says, by your conduct, your quiet conduct, to help your husband be converted, whether that means saved, or every one of us here that are married have married imperfect people that God is still in the process of sanctifying, right? It's a time process. Okay? So wait your turn is how I summarize it. And it involves humility. It's not because you aren't smarter or don't even have better ideas, though those ideas might not be so smart in 5 years that you think they are today, or maybe they'll be excellent and you'll get your turn to do that. Okay, but wait your turn. Any comments or questions there?
You should probably willingly do that.
Yes, submission is willingly, but it's choosing to follow even though there's a different path that you think is a better path. Or it could even be, why would I want to follow this person? God doesn't usually give us too many choices about who we follow, really. Okay? And yet we still follow. Number three. Again, we talked, number one, last week, we're submit to spiritual leaders. Number two, younger leaders are to submit to the elders. Literally, probably elders should be plural. And then number three, believers are to submit to those devoted to service. Now, this is amazing, but this is probably, at least to some degree, outside of the realm of leadership. 1 Corinthians 16. I'm going to sneeze here in a sec, I think. But excuse me. I'm allergic to alarm clocks or something. I don't know. 1 Corinthians 16, 15 through 18. Paul says this to the Corinthians. I urge you, brethren, you know the house of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia. It seems like they were the first converts. And that they have devoted themselves to the ministry of the saints. The King James says they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. Pretty amazing word there. To the ministry, to the serving of the saints. That you also submit to such. Who are we supposed to submit to? Probably more specific yet. Because it's, they have devoted themselves to the ministry of the saints. So it's a particular group of people that have devoted themselves to the ministry of the saints. So we're supposed to submit ourselves to those who are devoted to service, in a sense. Does that make sense? People are serving God intensely. We are to do what we can to help them. What can I do to help you? If they're busy accomplishing things, God does not want us, how can we not submit to them? God does not want us to just be the criticizer that says, if I were doing something, I would do it differently. Does that make sense? Have you ever had that? You know, it's like, well, you're not doing anything. So, you know, so it's resisting by inactivity, maybe. Does that make sense? And what we should do is we're to submit to, you can call them servants or workers. Hey, if people are busy serving God, we're to submit to them. If they ask you to help out somewhere, that's the idea, it sounds like. Okay? You submit to such and to everyone who works and labors with us. I am glad for the coming in. Here's Stephanas right now. Stephanas, Fortunatus, and Achaeus, for what was lacking on your part, they supplied, for they refreshed my spirit and yours. Therefore, acknowledge such men. There's a different word, acknowledge. So you identify and assist those that are working. And if they ask you, hey, can you get this for me? I've got a project going. Can you help me with this? And you say, yeah, I'll do that because I want to keep them work, you know, going. They're accomplishing things for God. I'm going to submit to them and whatever that I can do to assist them. Okay? So the blank here would be help, servants, serve. If I could put it in three words, help, servants, serve. Maybe you're not on the cutting edge of service, but help people who are. You know, because the more, if God has given them the ability to administrate and to serve in that way, the more you can do to help them and assist them in that way, the more they can accomplish. Not all of us are that way. We're not organized, but we can do something. If someone asks, I was like, yeah, I can do that. I wouldn't know how to start running the show, but I can do that, that, and that. Yeah, sign me up for those. Okay, I'll help you with those. That seems to be the idea. We are to submit to servants, workers, those that are, and I might put it, you know, intense. Is it those that are devoted to the ministry of the saints? Okay, go ahead, Ben.
Did you kind of put these in the hierarchy? Because I've seen you got the pastor, you got the elders. I almost see these people that the we are submitting to are probably the younger ones who are following Peter's command.
I'm not sure I'm following you, Ben, but I'm listening.
Well,
still.
I see the tie-in I saw before was the example where the pastors were supposed to set an example.
Right.
And then the younger is supposed to set an example by
It could be. I don't know that we could formally make that connection. And what you have here too is, and you had, even have formal, you could say maybe these are, some of these are deacons. But they don't have to be deacons, and they don't seem to be pastors. Okay? But they're people that are involved in ministry that maybe don't have a formal position, but they're get-things-done people, and so we're supposed to enable them. Sometimes the word servants could be the word deacons, you know, but we're not necessarily identifying them as that. But a hierarchy, I don't know that I could make a solid connection, and they probably overlap to some degree. You know, so, because, but this seems to be an attitude thing. I'm younger, you're older. I think you're out of the loop a little bit. You know, you're not seeing things the way things are. You're not as relevant or something. It's like you'll get your chance to be relevant if that's what you think when the time comes for God placing you here. This is more along the lines of activity. Hey, if people want you to help, jump in and help. And it's not a bad thing. It's a good thing. You know, it's not a... It's just willfully, if someone says, hey, let's get all the chairs out of the chapel, and it's like, yeah, okay. you know, even something like that. It's like, yeah, pitch in and go for it. You might not be the be-in-charge or organized person, but I can haul chairs, you know. Kind of works that way. And it can be in any level, except for cooking. If you want me to cook, I'll have you sign a waiver. So I'll be glad to cook. Kevin advised me of the danger of eating his food. Actually, I can cook a few things. So yeah, so there's the elders. This very likely specifically is younger leaders or potential leaders to the older ones. If biblically, as a church is doing, Paul says, the things that I committed to you, the same commit thou to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. There's a progression of leadership. So there's always levels of leaders even. I'm not speaking of who's most important, but there's people as they maybe grow older and more mature and even more studied and all that, they have more responsibility. And eventually that'll pass on to those there as they grow up and have more seasoning and maturity and study as well, too. So there's a progression there. This is like any time. But eventually, probably some of these will become those, too. You know, there's levels of a lot of people don't have time for anything or anybody because they're all preoccupied with their own stuff. That changes as you come to know the Lord and become more mature. You understand that life is not supposed to be about me, myself, and I, my three favorite people, right? It's to be about others. We're supposed to think about, consider the things of others, not only the things of ourselves, as it says in Philippians. Right. And you can't have that unity that comes with that, too. So everyone knows what it's like to be here in a work day or, you know, some major project, and there's a relationship level of intimacy that you get that you can't get by shaking hands on a Sunday kind of idea. So working together does that. Okay, we're to submit to these kind of people. Hey, they're the ones that have devoted themselves to the ministry of the saints. It's not come and help me do my own stuff for me, myself, and I. These are people that are accomplishing things to get ministry done that impacts the entire body. Okay. Number four. This one is probably going to be probably come across more as a correction of thought than it is a principle. But number four, believers are to submit to one another. You saw that in 1 Peter as well. I have a question here. Does this teach mutual submission? And what we mean by mutual submission, everyone equally submits in equal fashion. And there's people that teach that. To say that, no, we're all have equal status. And I don't mean value, but equal status. And so if we're submitting to one another, nobody's really in charge. Because you may be in charge when I'm submitting to you. Have you ever, who was the chipmunks or something? It's like, no, you first, no, me first, no, you know, you first, no, you first kind of idea. They're submitting to the point where they're paralyzed. That's truly what mutual submission is. It says here in Ephesians, it says here, submitting to one another in the fear of God. Again, submitting has to do first with understanding that God's in charge. Okay? But Ephesians, and I put the whole context in here, it says, do not be drunk with wine in which is dissipation or pointless living, but filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. Notice there's several infinitives. There's speaking, singing, making melody, giving thanks, and submitting. Okay, there. And then without any kind of transition at all, it says wives. What's the brackets around submit mean? What is the... Yeah, it's implied. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. It's in some Greek text, and it's not in others. But it's a submitting to one another in the fear of God. And like, Ben, you have NASB? What do you have with you?
No, that's the King James.
Okay, so that'll be the... It'll be there. Anyone have anything that's not King James or New King James? What do you have? What does it say? Yeah, what does it say in verse 21? Or verse 22, rather. Ephesians 5:22. And it might say it. NIV is a little more loose. Okay, that's the same. Okay. But the idea is implied. And there's no transition at all. It says submitting to one another in the fear of God. And then it goes down a list of six different groups. Wives, husbands, children, fathers, servants, masters. As I understand what this is saying here, okay, we're to submit to one another. But how do we submit? Is it identical submission? No, you first. No, you first. No, you first. Nobody's in charge. Is that true in a family? Is that true in a business? Is that true in a church? Is that the way it's supposed to be? It goes against what God says elsewhere. Okay, submit to the authorities. Well, how do you submit to the authorities if you're to submit mutually? Well, let me submit to you for your consideration today that there's different ways to submit. And it's based upon your role or position. Because that's submitting to one another in the fear of the Lord. Now let me list the different ways. Now if you're a wife, you submit to your husband as to the Lord. That's how you submit as a wife. It's role determined. If you're a husband, how do you submit to your wife? What does it say in the Bible? Yeah, but specifically, love your wife as Christ loved the church. That's how a husband submits to his wife. It's not the same thing. You're submitting to your wife by fulfilling your role before God. Anyone here think that loving their wife is not submission? Does that come naturally? As Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Let me add that part. Because the Bible seems to go on and say, no, a man is kind of selfish. In fact, men and women are born kind of selfish. Okay? And it even goes on to say, no one has ever not loved his own body. And it uses your own body even to say, you treat your wife as if she was your own body. Okay? So it's a submission for a man to love his wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it, and to purify her as Christ purifies the church. Okay? It's not identical to the wife. The wife is told to do something different toward her husband than the husband is toward the wife. Both are acts of submission. How about if you're a child? What are you supposed to do? If you're submitting to one another, you're not telling your parents what to do and your parents say, okay. What does that submission relationship look like? They're supposed to first, what's the command first? 6:1. Obey. We're to submit to one another, but because of my role or position at that time and place, it's different. If I'm a child in a home under my parents, my responsibility is to obey my parents, even though they're imperfect. Yeah, all of that. That's how I submit to one another as a child. I'm to honor and respect them as a child, as it's commanded. Okay? A different type of submission than the husband to the wife or the wife to the husband. The parent submits, or the child submits to the parents. Now, okay, what about parents to children? That's a different relationship, right? How do they submit to their children? They don't do what the children say. Mom, Dad, we're having Snicker bars tonight again for supper. Oh, do we have to? We had those for lunch. You know, that's what the parents are doing. I want something else. No, how did the parents submit to the children? As parents, they bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. That is how they are submitting to their children. They're accepting and fulfilling their responsibility as parents. How about servants to masters? The Bible says, how do they submit? They obey their masters. Because you serve Christ ultimately, not your master. You understand that God is in charge of your master. And how do masters submit to those that they're over? What does it say here? I don't remember. Do the same thing, giving up threatening, knowing that your own master also is in heaven and there's no partiality. You be kind to those that you're over, because you are not the ultimate boss either. But each one, as we submit to one another, it's not sitting there and starting with a blank sheet of paper. It's a grid that God has said, depending upon who you are and the position you're in. And by the way, is it possible to fit in several of those? Can you be a wife and a slave? In that day, you could. Okay? Are you a child? Could you be a child and a husband? Yes. Now, again, we've talked about when you're married, it changes the relationship some, but there's still an ongoing lifelong honor, right? So it's not like you're in one and only one. You might be in multiple ones. But every one of these is under the master, God himself. So when we submit to one another, a lot of people use that and they drop the context. But it seems to relate to the relationships within the church even are depending upon your roles. You fulfill your roles. And then it points it back to the home. It points it to the workplace, which we haven't talked about yet. So that's how you're submitting to one another. What's your role? Fulfill your role. Fulfill your responsibility as God can enable you and have you do. Okay? And it's always a standard that you would not come up with yourself. As Christ loved the church, as the church submits, you know, bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, as opposed to your own ways and means. Okay? Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, because there's more attached to it. Okay? Okay? So, believers are to submit to one another. How do they do that? By the blank is to fulfill your role. Fulfill your role. That's how you submit. And it depends upon your role, and that can change. If you're a child, someday you may be a parent. And if that's the case, you're a husband or a wife. Okay, so those change. And if you're a husband, you may also be a master or a servant or whatever the case might be. Okay? So each one is a different role. It depends on your role, and that's how you submit. You submit by taking the position that God wants you to do in that role. Have the right attitude, the right response. So. Questions, comments? Next week, yeah, you all have permission to be sick. I'm covering the hardest one. So feel free to take next week off if you want. I'm just kidding. It's very hard, and I don't really have a totally firm place to land on it, but it's the women keep silent in the church, submission, all that kind of stuff. It's two very hard passages, and most people have flushed them from the Bible in our day. They're politically incorrect and all. And we're going to just talk about them. We probably won't pour cement next week, you know, to get that. But some things to think about is probably where we'll be next week. So a lot there. So there's actually three passages probably. 1 Timothy 2, 1 Corinthians 11, and 1 Corinthians 14 are all part of that next week. All right, let's pray. Lord, thank you for your truth. Help us to be good students of the Word, and Lord, help us to love you and desire to obey you with all of our hearts. And Lord, we know that you have the Holy Spirit living within us so that we can obey you because you've empowered us to do so. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you very much.